You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. As we observe a changing San Francisco, across the bay, Berkeley is also witnessing some major redevelopment. A new play tries to capture and preserve the diverse character of Berkeley through the stories of its people. Playwright Dan Wolf interviewed hundreds of people from all around Berkeley and asked them these three questions.
When did you come to Berkeley? Why do you stay in Berkeley? And then the fun one was, what's magical for you about Berkeley?
The answers to those questions inspired Wolf's play called Daylighting, the Berkeley Stories Project. His play includes a cast of characters from the retired UC professor to the homeless person living under a bridge to a woman in a wheelchair. The man who's called Berkeley home since the 60s and the new family that's just moved in. There's music throughout, and it's all seen through the eyes of the young protagonist, B. Playwright Dan Wolf came by our studios, and I asked him what the motivation was for the play. We start with a clip from a character, James, who's been in Berkeley since 1975.
Berkeley, California! It's that time in the middle of the night when you can't tell if it's too late to be up or too early to be coming home.
Well, I moved to Berkeley about 6 years ago, right before my son was born. And it's one of those funny Sundays where you're out walking around and pushing a stroller and you start to see the people who you didn't know live there. And I ran into a friend of mine, Rebecca Novick, who's a director. And we said, I didn't know you lived here. I didn't know you lived here either. What is this place? Like, it's all these new families and, all the kind of history of Berkeley. Like, what is this place that we live in? And I think that coupled with the question of, how do you make work for your community is very kind of on my mind. And when you move from one community to another, who are you? Who are your neighbors? And how do you explore that? And we both looked at each other and said, let's make something. Coming out of the question, how do you make work in your community? And who comes to Berkeley? Who lives in Berkeley? Why? Why do you stay? All these things started to surface for us. And so we set out these questions that we would just ask people. And we met with probably 100 or 150 people over.
You interviewed a lot of people.
We talked to a lot of people. Yeah, we really did. And yeah, we just kind of started there and listened and heard. And a lot of people said, that's not Berkeley. This is Berkeley.
So what was your initial question? What was your...
It was when did you come to Berkeley? Why do you stay in Berkeley? And then the fun one was, what's magical for you about Berkeley? What's the one place, if someone came from out of town, that you would bring them? And we got these amazing answers. And of those answers, really the setting and the concept around what we were doing in the play was born.
Mm. So let's talk about the storyline. There's a Berkeley student named B.
Mm-hmm.
B as in Berkeley.
B as in Beatrice.
B as in Beatrice. And she is walking from the Berkeley Hills to the Flatlands throughout the play. So let's meet B first.
Uh-huh. Hey, baby, come on now. That's my baby right there.
Berkeley is history, proximity, and circumstance. Berkey is a mystery, a muse to me, a movement's past. Berkeley is community, its knowledge is collection. Berkeley is unity, utopia's extension.
So B is making this journey through Berkeley, but it's also a journey through time and space, and she meets all these people. What goes on along the way?
Well, I mean, first of all, I want to mention that the play takes place between midnight and sunrise on the night of her high school graduation. And so, she's starting at this party, and she is aware of the history of Berkeley, specifically these creeks that used to be surfaced and now are underground. And she kind of used that as the metaphor for following and finding herself throughout the night. She's questioning, do I stay? Do I go? And she just starts off on a solitary solo, in a way, like spirit walk through the night. And everyone she meets is real, but they have that fantastical connection to her of, I know you, I've seen you somewhere. Are you on TV? You're in a picture at my grandfather-in-law's house. I mean, one of the things we heard was Berkeley doesn't have 6 degrees of separation. It has two. Every time you meet someone, you're like, oh, you were married to him, and that's somebody actually said that in one of the story circles. So I took that I took liberty, dramatic liberty, with that idea and kind of set her off on this walk through the night.
She meets people.
She meets, you know, the kind of cast of Berkeley, and it's, you know, the different groups that we met along the journey of the process, which was, you know, the Ed Roberts group, the assisted living group, the disability community in Berkeley. She meets, you know, the revolutionary 60s, you know, came here for the fight, but now bought a house in the hills and lives in a gourmet ghetto, you know.
And she meets a day worker.
Yeah, she meets a day laborer called Manuel, who in the timeline of the story helps her move from her house. But in his arc, his narrative, he's just arrived in Berkeley. And we're really trying to show that at any given moment, the in and out flux is always happening. People are coming in and out of the place. The water is flowing in and out of the creek, in and out of the bay. You know, we're trying to transition in and out of moments in our life. And so she meets Manuel, and Manuel has this beautiful speech where he talks about his journey to the Bay Area, specifically Berkeley.
Well, let's listen to it.
And he said, "Hey, get out of my space. I'm asking for money here. Go over there. There. Mexicans over there." But I saw nothing. I was told that people start arriving around 5:30 in the morning. At 5:30, no one arrived. 6:30, no one.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba, and with me is playwright Dan Wolfe. His new play, Daylighting, the Berkeley Stories Project, is showing now through June 22nd. So we just heard the day laborer, Manuel, and his monologue, one of the many stories included in the play. So the play's subtitle is There Ain't No One Berkeley. Mm-hmm. So do you feel you're, this is cliche to say, but breaking a stereotype of what people think Berkeley is, or who is someone from Berkeley?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, we purposefully didn't write a play about the 60s in Berkeley, and, you know, there's no scene that happens on Sproul Plaza. Nobody was even there, you know. So we're trying in a way to say, like, you know, the free speech movement was 50 years ago. That's a long time for a place to have an identification connected with it. And if it's still connected, is it true today? Just in the same way that San Francisco is connected with the San Francisco Sound. But, you know, Jefferson Starship's been gone for a long time, you know. And so what is the sound? What is the ethos and the psyche of a place, and how do you tell a story about a place? And so we really, again, tried to say, like, Berkeley is many different things, and how can we explore as many of them as possible?
Right. And as you see, speaking of, you know, change and time, as you look at the changing, you know, San Francisco is changing and Oakland is changing, do you see Berkeley kind of following in that?
Yeah, I mean, there's the biggest kind of income disparity and one of the biggest in the country. And so, you know, these houses that, you know, were a couple $100,000 that nobody would want to live in 10 years ago are now $1 million houses. So our whole structures are shifting. And so the play, I hope, is getting at, in a very specific way, how we deal with these kind of seismic shifts that are happening in our on our neighborhood, and when is it a value to us that our house is now worth $1 million versus, you know, on the way out, it's always a value if you're selling the house, but on the way in, it's like, how can I afford to live here?
I'm talking about the kind of change I'm talking about. I'm talking about people standing up for themselves 24/7 without the fear of getting shot in the back or tear gassed or arrested.
Yeah, but changes in technology are mobilizing people all over the world. We're past all that hippy-dippy protest stuff.
It's you people coming here, though, and making it more expensive.
That's right. Look at the housing costs.
Change is not comfortable.
That's right. Because black people can't live here anymore.
We got pushed out to Emeryville.
Change is superficial. Nothing changes. They just cut down more trees. The white people live here, the black people live there. Change, everything just stays the same.
You know, people are moving out all the time. And so, again, where are they going? And who's replacing them? And how do we create an opportunity for as many people to sit at the table and share in the conversation?